Let's just try this again. It's the news, according to me. Oh, what a day. What a day this has been. It is the news, according to me. It's Thursday, May 18th. Again, it's still May 18th. 3:32 in the afternoon on 2023. Yeah. So here we go, folks. This is the second time now at this attempt I've made at this particular program today. I started out this morning at about, I was going to get up at 6 o'clock. I never know. There's this problem I have here at the house that it never fails. The minute I come down to my studio to do the show, because I think that my wife isn't going to leave right away, she ends up leaving right away. Just about 5 minutes into the show, she wants to leave. And of course, I can't say goodbye to her because I'm doing the show. If I wait, if she seems to be doing her thing and she's getting ready to go, it's like 7 or 8 o'clock. And the next thing I know, it's 9 o'clock before she leaves. I could have done a show. I could have easily done a show. Now, if I get up too early, if she's working out, she does her workout in the morning. She doesn't like me being around while she's doing her workout, which I understand that. I don't like people watching me brush my teeth. Similar kind of feeling. Different thing. It's just different, similar thing. I'm just saying the feeling's the same. So I have to stay in bed basically until I think she's ready to leave. And then, or when she's done with that stuff. And then of course, sometimes she just gets done with her workout. She's out the door real quick. Within 30 minutes, she's out the door. Well, by the time I get my breakfast done, let's get downstairs. There you go. She's heading out the door. But then I can't tell. I can't figure this out. I don't know. Anyway. So anyway, needless to say, I had an appointment at 11 o'clock. I had to do a voiceover job this morning. So I was trying to get all this stuff done about 9:30, some 9:10, something like that, when I finally got down here to do my show. The show. And I ended up, the show of all shows. The show to end all shows. The news, according to me. And that's what I did. Every time I say the news, according to me, I should be playing my music. I should say the show to end all shows. The news. According to me, I probably should do that every time I say the news, according to me. So she gets down here or I get down here and start the show. And I was about 6 minutes in, maybe not even that much, maybe 5 minutes in, just getting warmed up, just about where I'm at right now. Just kind of starting to get warmed up. Got everything started to move in some areas. Started to actually talk about, I thought it was going to be a short show because I had an appointment. So I was trying to get things going. And so I jumped right into it. Now I had chai this morning to drink while I was, that's gone. That's long gone in many ways. That's already passed through. Let's just put it that way. Now I have sweet tea. I had time to make some sweet tea today. Unfortunately, I was brewing the sweet tea while I was doing the show because the power went out. About 5 minutes into the show, all of a sudden everything in the house went black. It just went dark. And I thought at first it was just my computer because I'm in this little room here. I just thought maybe something came unplugged. But that's not the case. But the whole house was black. Whole house, lights were out everywhere. Not that there's a lot of lights on at 9 o'clock in the morning, but there were no lights on. Nothing was working. Refrigerator was off. Everything was off. Looked down to the end of the driveway, and sure enough, there's a truck down there. Seemed to be working on the electrical system. So, it'd been nice if you'd have told me. And so I ended up kind of milling around, getting things ready to go. Well, now it's too late for me to try to do the show over again. I've got to try to get things going. I didn't know how long he was going to be, so I thought, well, I'll try to get things ready to go here for the. I have to get to the studio to do my voice recording. I don't like to do phone-directed sessions for voiceovers from my home studio. I can do them. I'm all set up to do it. I just don't like to do them here. It seems like there's too many things that can cause more noises. There are different kinds of noises here, at least for now. That's going to change. Like I've been saying for the last year, I've got this whole thing set up now so that once I get everything done, I just got to figure out how to move my sound box in here so I can. It's heavy. It weighs about 400 pounds. It's on wheels, but I have to tip it over to get it in the door. Anyway, so I won't tell you, I got it home and got it off the trailer. out by the door. So I did this. So I ended up just waiting. I went to the studio, did my voiceover. Of course, then I get there, I do this whole voiceover, and everything was perfect. They were really happy with it. It was like 45-minute session. Got a bunch of takes done, all kinds of things for them. I thought this was an easy session. If you knew what they paid me for an hour's worth of work like that, you'd probably cry. But I was done, had everything done. They were pressed for time, so it was like, okay, we've got all this done. I'll get the files to you here in the next 15 minutes. Got everything ready to go. I was going to clean up a few things here and there on the ends and little bits here and there. And I started looking at the files and started playing them, and it sounded like it was somebody was talking from a computer, like it was a robot voice. Something was really wrong with it. I could not fix it. Now, when I record, I also record a backup from a separate source. That was also doing the same thing. So there was a problem with my phone patch. I figured out that must have been what it was. Every time I hit the record button, no matter which area it was recording through the phone patch in that particular machine was not doing its job. It was not doing a good job at all. So something was very, very wrong with that. So I'm not going to be able to do the phone patch there. I may not ever be able to do a phone patch there. I don't know if it was just that particular setup, if I got something set up to feed back. I don't know what's going on there. So I think what I'm going to have to do is basically turn some things off with that whole thing. I just don't know what's going on with it. But I'll have to do some experimenting, see what's happening. Okay, that's enough of all that. That's my story. That's my day story. That's why the show is so late. Just for those of you who wonder. Probably isn't anybody that wonders. They just get on with it. I do have a couple subjects I want to talk about. And one is the town hall. I know this was last week, but I want to talk about this because I was listening to a show this morning. Mr. Reagan is his channel, but I think his name is Sean. And Mr. Reagan is his channel name. He kind of in honor of Ronald Reagan. And he did a pretty good analysis of the show and the questions that were asked. And then he went a little deeper and he looked into the backgrounds of the people who were asking the questions. He found out more about these people, got their full names, looked for them on social media, looked for anything he could find out in their background just to find out if they were real, if they were real actual people or not. The town hall was a sham. The town hall was a setup, completely set up. And unfortunately, it did not go well for CNN. It did not work out the way they thought it would. You see, the people at CNN, all these commentators, they have convinced themselves that Donald Trump is unhinged, off the rails. This whole thing is made up in their heads of what this guy is about and what he's like. And sadly, unfortunately, this influences everything about the way they do everything. And this all ties together with everything I want to talk about, because I do want to talk about the Durham report. I want to talk about the FBI, Hillary Clinton, all these things they're all tied together in this whole thing. All these people should be in jail. Period. They should lose their citizenship. From Hillary, even Obama. I know that'll never happen because he's so popular with certain numbers of people. These people are crooks. Well, I'm not a crook. These people are crooks. And they should be run out of town on a rail. It's infuriating and it's disgusting and it's just sickening to me. The way they are subverting our process. But it's, I just had my blood trip. Don't worry. I did a medical yesterday, my yearly medical. And my blood pressure is 122 over 68. So don't worry. I'm fine. I don't put my hope and my trust in these people. That's not, government is not my God. And I know that there will be a reckoning. So I'm at peace with all that. But I do know that As I look at this, I see that the price that was paid for our liberties, and you know, who's going to stand up for this? Let us not just allow this to go off with the people who have given up so much so that we could live this life of liberty and freedom, relatively speaking, that we're losing it more of every day. Because we refuse to stand up to it. We refuse to push back. And I think it's time that there's some accountability here. I just, you know, is there ever going to be any? I don't know. But there needs to be some, regardless of what happens. So as I get into this, first of all, I want to talk about the town hall. This, Mr. Reagan, Sean, he did a really good analysis of this thing. There's one thing he didn't talk about that I happened to notice that I'll bring up because I noticed it. That's why I'm going to talk about it. And I also, again, this gets back to this whole vocal thing. I can tell when people are talking sometimes whether they're being sincere or not, or whether what's going on with them, whether they're lying or not, whether what's happening here, whether it's an act, it's portrayal, that kind of thing. There were two people that, as I was, I didn't watch the whole town hall. I watched parts of it, and I think I've seen almost all of it just by watching parts here and there of it, the whole thing. They cut it short, by the way, because it wasn't going well for CNN. And one of the things that I noticed was that the people who were standing up to ask questions, well, first of all, they knew who was going to be asking questions. So they would call on these people, and they had a description of who they were and what kind of business they were in, and all kinds of, so this is so-and-so, he's from such-and-such a place, and he was an aircraft whatever, and there's blah, 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 and he goes, oh, what? How do you know all this stuff? So apparently there was some screening going on with these questions, which seems a little weird to me. Wouldn't it seem that you should be, maybe, you know, somebody should possibly just hand a microphone out and, you know, somebody like just randomly take numbers of people? And one of the things that I noticed right away was the people who stood up to ask questions, they already had a microphone in their hand. There wasn't very many. In this entire town hall, there were not very many people asking questions, which is kind of strange too. Because the commentator did most of the talking. She jumped in and interrupted and did her thing, which was very rude. But these people would stand up. If you notice, these people seem to be by themselves. They weren't there with their families. They weren't there with anyone else. Now, if I were to go to an event like this, I would be less inclined to go to something like that by myself. I went to a Ron Paul thing a while back. It's been several years ago, and it was down in Fort Wayne, and I probably would not have gone by myself, but there were a couple other guys going, and we went together. And it was, you know, it makes an event out of it. It makes, you don't feel like you're just kind of the oddball sitting there by yourself in this thing. And to travel that far, especially too, that's a long way to go. But I see this event here. You're going to this event, and would I go to something like that by myself? I don't know. I'm not the type of person who would go to see a movie by myself typically. Now I have, because of the kind of work I do. Once I haven't gone to a theater movie. The only time I go to a theater movie now, it's usually with my wife, and it's usually because it's an action movie that's only really good on the big screen. If it's just a story, I just as soon watch it on TV. We've got a projector we can watch it on if we want to watch something big like that. But we went to a theater to see Top Gun 2, the Maverick. And yes, it was worth watching on the big screen. But we maybe go to a big screen movie once a year, maybe. Maybe sometimes twice a year. It depends on what it's about. There's been some faith movies put out recently. That's usually what we go to. We'll go with some other family or something. Do something with somebody that like that, where we'll go out and see the movie and talk about it afterwards. But it's usually something with some kind of content. Or an action movie, which hasn't been a whole lot of those in the last 5-10 years. So, needless to say, we don't go to the movies very much. Sorry, my sweet tea just bumped into the microphone. That's okay. I can excuse my sweet tea for that. Because it means well. So we have this issue here with this thing. Now, these people who were standing up and asking questions, there were three of them that Sean couldn't find anywhere on social media. Nothing. They have no existence outside of their name and explanation of who they are on this at this town hall. They were supposedly Trump voters in 2020. And the questions that they asked were so in tune and so much aligned with the narrative from the left. And they were tricky questions because it's kind of like the question where you say, how is it? The question about do you still beat your wife with a stick? Something like that. How do you answer that question? No. Oh, so what do you beat your wife with then? Wait, no, I don't beat my wife. You see that? There's no answer there. It's a yes or no question. A yes or no answer does not answer the question. It implies something. It implies that you used to beat your wife with a stick. No. Do you still beat your wife with a stick? No. Oh, that's good. Don't beat her like that anymore. What? Wait, what? But you used to. It implies that you used to. That's the kind of question that was being asked. It was a trick deal where you couldn't answer this question. And Trump just went completely in a different direction and didn't give the answer that they were pressing him for. And if you didn't pay attention, you didn't even notice that the fact that he literally changed the face of the question by completely obliterating the question with a different answer. He still answered the question. But the premise of the question was ridiculous, and he went completely the other end of that. Very sharp, in my opinion. That's very tough. Now, this is somebody who's been in negotiations at the table with a lot of people, a lot of big shots, a lot of diplomats. He can cut through this stuff, and he sees through this kind of thing. And he remained very tempered, very, you know, on point, very much on point. And he wouldn't, and a couple times he wouldn't allow the moderator to interrupt him. He pushed back on that. The person asked him a question, he would start to answer it, and then she would try to jump in and hijack the question. And he pushed back on it and continued to answer the person who asked the question. Surprisingly enough, it was the times that she did it the most were the times that these people were, in my opinion, they were not legitimate questions. They were that was set up. So, you know, there's got to be a random way for people to ask questions. And this was not it at all. So how do you know who knows how these people qualified with their questions? Did they write in to CNN and say, I want to ask the president this question? And they got invited because they had this question. I don't know how this works, but it seemed kind of random to me that these people would have these specific questions to ask, and they knew all about their life. So it's just bizarre. That something doesn't fit right there. And then, of course, when Sean went to look for some of these people, there was no social media presence at all from a couple of them. For like three of them. One of them was a college-age kid, and a college student, I believe. You can't tell me there's no social media trace of this person. So it seems to be a little bit of a sham. And in my opinion, they had planned to trap Trump on some things and I, that they didn't get away with. They just didn't get away with it, which is, you know, good for him. And of course, now she got a promotion. She's going to get prime time now. She was on a morning show. Now she's going to be on an evening show during prime time, which was already probably in the works before she even got that far. And there's probably a reason for that. And I'm talking about something else altogether. So so there's this. This is part of the issue right here. Now, keep in mind how CNN has been in bed with the FBI and CIA and other. Clapper, is it Clapper? The ex-CIA chief or DNI, whatever it was. He now is a commentator. He's a contributor now for CNN. I think he does some work for MSNBC as well, but he's CNN. He's on there. Not to be confused with Tapper. Now, Tapper came out and basically confessed and admitted, hey, we got it wrong. We were duped. No, you weren't duped at all. Should have known better. Well, they did. They did know better. They knew they were lying through this whole thing. You can't tell me that they didn't know. Now they're trying to push it off and act like, oh, we got the FBI lied to us. So now we get into this whole thing with the FBI. The Durham report, it makes the FBI look pretty bad. But of course, the FBI right away comes out and says, well, we've already fixed all this. Nothing to see here. Oh, yeah, sure you have. You know, all these problems that we had and all this stuff that happened, we've already fixed all that. The same people are still in place. Peter Strzok has a full-time job as a commentator for CNN. I bet he's getting $300,000 a year just to be a source, just to be a contributor. Who knows what he's getting? Probably at least $250,000 a year. Probably more. It's ridiculous. It's out of control. And so, and yet he has the audacity, and he's right in the middle of this whole thing. And Hillary Clinton, who sits at the top of this thing, as far as we know, now Obama was supposedly briefed, as well as so was Joe Biden. You can't tell me that they didn't all know about what's going on here. That they were all in on it. Just formally, yeah, they were briefed. Informally, I guarantee you there were talks going on behind the scenes. Oh, like, you know, one person's airplane shows up on a tarmac and the other person's airplane shows up on a tarmac. Not that that would ever happen, Loretta Lynch, Bill Clinton. And that's just the time they got caught. Oh, we're on a trip. We had to stop in here. Oh, look at there. Oh, look. Oh, just happened to be Loretta Lynch's plane just happened to be across the tarmac. Oh, she came over. We talked about her grandkids and golfing. Yeah, I bet you did. Right in the middle of Hillary's investigation. That's what happened there. You guys got caught and you know it. You know there was more going on than that. Just random. Oh, it just happened to happen. Just happened. Oh, look at there. What a coincidence. Hillary Clinton, the DNC was, let's back up here just a little bit. The DNC, the Democrat organization that runs the campaigning, was going broke. They were having all kinds of financial issues. The Clinton Foundation was awash. Flooded with cash. A lot of it had to do with the Haiti money that had come through the Clinton Foundation to go to Haiti. And, of course, a lot of that money never showed up. A lot of that money never went anywhere. It was all offshore money. The IRS apparently doesn't have anything to do with that. So all this money is available out there. Well, all this money, of course, outside the United States, was going to pay for a little dossier that a man called Christopher Steele was putting together. completely fabricated the whole thing, made everything up. Probably made from stories from other things that I don't think he's that creative. He probably just came up with stories that other people did things with. He heard a story about this, he heard a story about that, so he just put it all together, and that sounds like Trump. Let's do that. Guess who paid? Because see, when Hillary came in, she had this foundation money. She bailed out the DNC. Now, when Bernie Sanders started gaining some popularity, guess what happens? And I can't believe this woman is still in Congress. I thought she was gone. She had to resign from the DNC. She was head chair of the DNC at the time. I can't remember what her name is. Wasserman Schultz, maybe? Wasserman? Debbie Wasserman? I don't know. She had to resign in disgrace because of what happened with Bernie Sanders. Her emails were found out. Now, keep this in mind. All this stuff is going on. It's all related. It's all intertwined. And every single one of these people should be in prison, not in office. I keep saying how Trump should go to jail. Trump, I can't believe that Trump would say he's going to put his political opponent in jail. Hillary would put Trump in jail in a heartbeat. They're salivating over the idea of Trump going to jail. All of them are. Walls are closing in. We're gonna get this guy. He's corrupt. Hillary Clinton, in the midst of this whole thing, her money bails out the DNC. So she comes in with this checkbook. And of course, she now controls the DNC. And anything that the DNC wants to do, of course, Wasserman Schultz was going right along with this. Bernie Sanders comes along and he's getting popularity. He's getting some traction. They don't like it. Hillary's like, oh no, he's not taking this nomination. I paid for this. It's my money that's making this thing work. And by golly, I'm going to be the nominee. This is back in 2016. So they found a way to shrug off Bernie Sanders. And in the process, Bernie just rolls over. Because you know why? Bernie was bought and paid for. Now, keep in mind, right during this time, Bernie happens to get a summer camp. I got a summer camp up in northern, up north, upstate New York. I got a summer camp. A lot of people have summer camps. Thousands of people have summer camps. You got a million-dollar property that he supposedly inherited. Well, I inherited. He didn't buy it. He inherited it. Can you afford the taxes on that, Bernie? How'd you pay the taxes on that? The capital gains there. Then he went and wrote a book or something and made a whole bunch of money. Now he's a millionaire. He used to talk about millionaires and billionaires. Now he just talks about billionaires. He does not mention millionaires because he is one. It's typical of a democratic socialist. That's about the way these people are. They can't see their own. They will never give up what they have. It's very easy for people who have nothing or who don't want to contribute or can't produce anything. It's very easy for them to shake their fist at the system and say, well, the system sucks. We need to get the system, change the system. And we need socialism. Tax the rich. Share the wealth. That's great. Then nobody has any incentive to produce anything, to make anything of themselves, other than just maybe some kind of glamorous goal. Which that never works out very well either. Because then you end up with this high and mighty false sense of virtue. And this, look at the guy who was it NBA, whatever that was, a kid that was had the business that was a scam. It was just a scam. The whole thing was a scam. I'm making money to give away. I live a meager, live this meager life. Yeah, I think he's in jail now. See, the problem is that people are... selfish. That's what it is. And we need to let the system correct itself because of the selfishness that's involved. And yeah, it hurts everybody sometimes, but that's what's going to happen. Otherwise, everybody really gets hurt. It's like a few people get hurt a little bit, or everybody gets hurt a lot. Either way. So, what we have now is this whole thing intertwined. Hillary Clinton is involved in the Christopher Steele dossier. She pays for it. It's bought and paid for. The FBI uses it now for, and Jim Jordan had this right all along. And unfortunately, I don't think Jim Jordan's presentation, he kept saying how this whole thing happened. And he was right. Every suspicious thing he saw, he just nailed it right on the head. They used this dossier to get a FISA warrant against Trump. Now, Durham says there was never enough evidence for them to even start Crossfire Hurricane. They started on a false precedence to begin with. However, that even the false precedence wasn't enough. Because what happened here was the FBI had this dossier. Now, how did they get the dossier? Well, it came through the DNC. How did the DNC get involved in all this stuff? And how did they, this little side story in the whole thing, this whole thing with Bernie Sanders and the reason people were ticked off and the reason they found out, the reason Debbie Wasserman Schultz resigned, is the whole thing, it was exposed because the emails came out. The DNC server was hacked. This is different than Hillary's servers that she had in her private server stuff. This is the DNC server that was hacked. Now get this, this is how this all came down. The DNC server, according to forensic technicians who are experts in this stuff, say it was not hacked over the internet. It was not a Wi-Fi or an internet service that hacked this thing. It was a direct download dump onto a hard drive. In other words, somebody physically got in touch with the server and downloaded all the emails. CrowdStrike, which is it's kind of creepy, but CrowdStrike is kind of a creepy organization. I have a company iPad from this company that I do work for that actually has an app called CrowdStrike on it. They are a software management company. They were hired by the DNC to investigate how they got hacked, how the servers got hacked. Within 24 hours, they told the DNC it was a Russian hack. It looks like the Russians did it. About 6 months later, after they actually had gone through all the forensics, they said, no, it's not possible that the Russians did anything. That was never, never put on mainstream media. Never. You never heard about that. This is the way they do things. They get the narrative out there, and then they just keep going with that. No, couldn't have happened in the Wuhan lab. Oh, yeah, the coronavirus, whatever. Anything that's out there. They put out what they want to have out there, and then they just ignore everything else and just keep plowing through with it. Just keep repeating the lie. So now we have this Russia connection with the DNC server. Russia did it. CrowdStrike recanted that. Their initial assessment was they suspected the Russians. And there was never any evidence that the Russians did it. In fact, there's a certain individual who got killed randomly, shot, not robbed, just shot on the street outside of his apartment about a half a block away from his apartment in D.C. Happened to be a Bernie supporter who worked for the DNC. These files were contributed to WikiLeaks. Julian Assange, head of WikiLeaks, was very disturbed by this particular individual's murder. He was concerned about all of his other contributors. The Russians did not give WikiLeaks the DNC emails. It was an inside job that exposed the DNC for what they did with the Hillary campaign against Bernie Sanders. Hillary was in the middle of that whole thing because she was the one with the purse strings. She was controlling the funds. Not physically controlling the funds, it was because her funds were involved. Because she was funding it, they had to do what she wanted them to do. And she, I guarantee you, that's the kind of person she is. She has always been that way, by the way. When they were running for president, when her husband was running for president, back in, was it 96? It was 99, I think it was 96 elections, wasn't it? Let's see, 84. It was 84 was Reagan. And then 88 was Bush the first. 92. It must have been 92. That's when Bush was a one-termer. I think it was in 92 when Clinton ran. And while they were running, there were certain charter pilots that were flying them around. Because Bill Clinton was a governor. He was chartering a plane as he was doing his campaigning. He was late in the game. As far as the DNC was concerned, he started. I don't think he started campaigning until late in the season of 92, and finally got the nomination that way. So there was a lot of other people in the mix there, and they beat George Bush the first, and Herbert Walker. So he there were some pilots that I know who were doing charter work and flying her around. This was back in, this was in the 90s, wow. And they talked about how she acted on the plane. Her personality was a certain type of personality, and it was very well known how she was. She was not a very well-liked person in D.C. During Bill's presidency. Just put it that way. Not even by Bill, apparently, because, he was taking advantage of other people while all this was going on. So her situation is going on at this time. Now, it's just 2016. She feels entitled because she basically brought the DNC out of their doldrums. She had all this money she was bringing in, controlling the situation. And basically was intimidating everybody with her funds. So this gets found out through this email dump to WikiLeaks. The person who did it shows up dead. Now, this person's family does not want to be implicated in this. They don't want anything. They have a hard time believing this could possibly have been something that was nefarious going on. So I'm not going to push this anymore. Sean Hannity got in big trouble for it. He's pushing it initially. I think he was right. Just my opinion. All this is going on, and in the middle of all this, somehow here's what happens. So the DNC talks to the FBI and says, I think our servers were hacked. But they didn't allow the FBI to look at their servers. They didn't want them to have access to their servers. So they hired CrowdStrike to do the investigation and report back to the FBI. So if I have a crime done at my house, let's say somebody breaks into my home and steals something, and the police show up, and I say, you know what? I don't want the police to investigate this crime. I want to hire my own private investigator. And you guys can, I'll just let you guys know what the private investigator says. That's what happened here. That's exactly what happened here. The DNC hired their own investigator to do this and then report back to the FBI. Well, we think it may have been the Russians. And that's all that was ever, they went with that. Because it went along with, all of a sudden, this narrative that, oh, Donald Trump is in cahoots with the Russians. And of course, after she lost, that became the story. That became the story for 4.5 years. Even after the Mueller investigation, no collusion was found with Trump. All this stuff was all wrapped up in it together. And it really all revolves around Hillary Clinton. She was the deep pockets, you might say, involved in this whole thing. You had people at the upper echelon of the FBI who wanted Hillary Clinton, or just didn't want Donald Trump to be president. They wanted to be part of this historic new woman president thing. They were Hillary fans. Peter Strzok, Andy McCabe, they all knew what was going on. They were all in on it. They were all involved. And now they are all contributors at MSNBC and CNN, along with the intelligence community, 50 some of whom got involved in this letter that the Hunter Biden laptop had all the earmarks of Russian disinformation campaign. Now, Biden, at the debate with Trump, did not say, "They said it has all the earmarks." No, he didn't say it that way. He said 50 former intelligence agents, and they weren't all former, by the way. Some of them were still working there. 50 intelligence agents said this is a Russian disinformation campaign. He didn't say has the earmarks or it looks like one. He said they said it is one. That's the way he said it at the debate. So even he misquoted the phony story to make it even more punch-worthy, you might say. This is corruption at its highest level, in my opinion. Wrapping this up with a bow that looks like a Hunter Biden laptop in the midst of everything else. The money that's been laundered, all the things that have been going on with all the banking and LLC, everybody. You talk to drug dealers or people who've done nefarious things, and they'll say, "Well, if you got a bunch of LLCs," there's this one guy, he said, I had 18 LLCs at one point. I didn't do anything. I said, I didn't have any businesses. I didn't produce anything. Didn't have any services. It was all to launder money. What do the Bidens do? What does the Biden family do? What does Hunter do? Nothing. Doesn't produce anything. Doesn't offer any services. What, advisory? I'm an advisor for Burisma. I don't know anything about oil. I can spell it. I don't know how to, that's about it. I use some in my hair. Guy's getting hundreds of thousands of dollars. Plus, on top of that, millions of dollars. They estimate there's been at least $10 million trickled back down through these LLCs into their family. Now, that doesn't include offshore funds. I guarantee you, you pop the top off this thing, that's probably a tenth of what they have. Because it's very easy to use those funds outside the country, as much as they travel outside the country, and continue to wash them around to do other things. There's organizations and NGOs, whatever you want to call them, all kinds of organizations outside the U.S. that they can pay, they funnel money to, and they ask for is a percentage back to their campaign. I'll give you, $10 million. I'll give you $1 million. You can give us $100,000 back to our campaign. Okay, that's a good deal. Give me $1 million, I'll give you $100,000 back. Okay, oh, well, whatever. Works for me. I mean, wouldn't that be a good deal? Yeah, you can give me $1 million and I'll give you $900,000 back. If you're looking for something to do with it. This is the level of corruption we're dealing with here. And I believe that you can't tell me that the intelligence agencies, that the alphabet soup agencies don't know that this is all going on. Why would they sit on Hunter Biden's laptop for over a year, knowing full well it was legitimate? They wouldn't do anything with it. A lot of this was James Comey, in my opinion. James Comey is wrapped up in this whole thing as tight as it can be as well. See, keep in mind, he was in charge of this whole thing while it was happening. And now Christopher Wray, well, you know, we can't tell us anything about it because it's an ongoing investigation. Well, you know, we fixed all these problems. We were aware of all these problems. We fixed them even before it came, the Durham report came out. Oh, okay. Thanks, guys. Because, you know, we can trust you so much. Because you guys are like Boy Scouts over there. You wouldn't do anything wrong, would you? No. You would never break the law. Subverting the law every day, it seems like. It's just, and the more we find out, part of an internal investigation. We can't talk about it. Oh, it's a part of a, you know, a PR matter or HR matter. We can't talk about that right now. These people are not an island. They are not exclusive. They don't have any diplomatic immunity here. They need to be held accountable to the American people because that's who they work for. Period. And Merrick Garland, of course, is turning a blind eye to this whole thing. He's just as culpable as well. These people should be in prison. And I don't care if they're Republicans or Democrats doing this. They should be in prison for this. Talk about a threat to our democracy. It's all we hear about. They're the very ones doing it. And they won't admit to it when it happens. They were 20 minutes after the Durham report came out, they were already out there trying to twist it around to say, oh, look, Trump was actually guilty. Trump actually had ties to... No, there were no... Mueller already... What? They've already determined this. Spent $40 million on the Mueller report to determine this whole thing. They never found any collusion with Trump or his family. And the only people who were arrested for process crimes. We've already talked about that as well. So... That's what's got my blood boiling today. But nonetheless, let's check my book. Oh, look, my heart rate is 65 beats per minute. Because I trust that even though this is happening right now, there is an eternal price to pay that I believe in and I trust in and I know that there will be justice. I'm more concerned about folks when they, Andy McCabe, Hillary Clinton. I really hope that you repent before it's too late. I will not want to see you go off into the darkness. I really hope that you will repent before that happens. And because you have publicly damaged our nation, I hope that you publicly apologize, repent, and confess what you've done. Because you are facing a day that's going to be very troubling for you. I don't want to see anybody go through that. So, as we experience the mercy of God, there's a difference between the grace of God and the mercy of God, in my opinion. I think people get it kind of confused sometimes. We need the mercy of God. And I think that's where we are right now. Now, speaking of the mercy of God, it's by the mercy of God, but hopefully by tomorrow. I'm going to check my calendar here. While I'm talking here, I'm going to check my calendar real quick and see if they've put anything on it yet. I don't think they have. But we're going to refresh this and see what it does. Here it comes. There is something on me tomorrow. I got to do this. Well, that's interesting. So they did put something on my calendar for tomorrow. That's kind of odd, in my opinion. That's kind of odd. I'll have to check and see what's going on here. I didn't think they could do that to me. So we'll see what's going to happen here for tomorrow. Regardless of that, we will hopefully have a live show tomorrow. I don't know if that's going to happen or not. I'm not sure if it can. God bless everybody. Have a great week.